Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians. And while you're turning there, we are going to read scripture in unison, and it's from Luke chapter 6, but I know you have different versions, so we're going to read as it's projected on the wall, taken from the New American Standard from Luke chapter 6. And we've just been singing about amazing love, how can it be? And in this passage, we see the mercy of God, and because of that, because God is merciful and kind to ungrateful and evil people and undeserving people like us, we are called to live the same way and manifest that character of our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read together from Luke 6. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Father, these are amazing words. They are the words of the living God. They are words, frankly, Lord, that we struggle with. Because we live in a world that is unkind, and we are often the recipients of injustice and personal slights and offenses. And Father, here we have the Word of God telling us what our life is to look like as your people. So, Lord, as we look to the Word now, strengthen us, change us, convict us, empower us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. You have your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. We live in a world that seems to be increasingly louder, ruder, less civil, more confrontational, more inconsiderate. It seems to be everywhere in the public sector, in private relationships. Ronald Kernighan writes, at the beginning of the 21st century, reasoned discourse is imperiled. Reasoned discourse is increasingly giving way to in-your-face soundbites. Hardball is the dominant metaphor for American public life. Our interchanges are confrontational, divisive, and dismissive. Truth is not something we expect to emerge from a conversation. It is something we hope to impose. Balance and fairness are casualties on evening shows as two, three, and sometimes four voices contend simultaneously for dominance. Volume and intransigence are the new civic virtues. Volume and kind of an inflexible harshness, he says, are the new civic virtues. It's not just in public discourse, in the political realm, in the Congress, where things are just louder and coarser and more unreasonable, but in personal relationships. Our culture says you've got to assert yourself. You've got to stand up for yourself. But I find no scripture that says be more assertive. Assert yourself a little more. I find scripture that says humble yourself. The word tells us humble ourselves. Be kind to one another. Be gentle. And our text here says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all. Now, beloved, I think we all believe that we are civil people. I think we all believe that we are basically courteous people, that we are reasonable. We are not rude. I don't consider myself to be a rude person. We don't think of ourselves as harsh, as demanding. I read something that was taken from U.S. News and World Report a few years ago. The percentage of Americans who think that incivility in our culture is a serious problem. 89% of Americans say incivility, discourteousness, harshness, meanness is a problem. 89% say that. Those who believe that it's mean-spirited political campaigns that are to blame for that, 73%. Those who think rock music is to blame, 67%. Those who think talk radio is to blame, 52%. Those who think their own behavior is uncivil, 1%. I'm one of the 99%. I don't think my behavior is particularly uncivil. But, beloved, I've got to tell you, as I studied this week, as I looked at this one verse, verse 5, it was a reality check for me. It was a reality check. It was convicting. I was convicted of how far short I fall of what God is asking of us in these few words. Can you believe we're only going to look at one verse again this morning? Last week we looked at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Numbers of you have shared how that command has stuck with you this week and has instructed you and encouraged you as you face difficulties in life. We're going to look at one verse again. Verse 5. And remember the context, chapter 3, verse 20, Paul is saying our citizenship is in heaven. This is how we are to live as those who know Christ, as those who are citizens of heaven. We look for the Savior. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says we're to stand firm in the Lord. And the first part of standing firm is to be unified with those who name the name of Christ. Unity in the church. Another part of standing firm is to rejoice always, to rejoice in all circumstances. And we dealt with that at length last Sunday. And then we come this morning to verse 5. Part of standing firm in the Lord, part of what is to characterize a growing, committed Christian is right here. Let your forbearing spirit be known to everyone. Be characterized as one who has a forbearing spirit. Notice, first of all, the requirement for kindness. Now, I'm calling this sermon called Be Kind. The translation I'm using says your forbearing spirit. If you have the New American Standard, it says gentleness. Let your gentleness, your gentle spirit, and so on. So we need to unpack this a little bit. But this is a command. We are called to be kind. In fact, we are commanded. We are required to demonstrate kindness, civility, courteousness to all. the difficulty here in understanding what this means is because this is such a rich Greek word. In fact, it's difficult to really assign one meaning to it. Someone said, no English word adequately conveys the fullness of the beauty and richness of this word that's translated forbearing or gentle. Other translations, I checked many translations of the English Bible, and it's translated humility. Let your humility be known to all. Your courtesy, your gentleness, your magnanimity. Boy, there's a great word. Your big-heartedness. Your reasonableness. The New Living Translation translates it, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. The Amplifies it like this. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The word here, forbearing, means gracious. It means gentle. It means fair. It means reasonable. It means kind. The root idea, beloved, the root idea is yieldedness. Put that in your notes. Yieldedness. It means not demanding my way, not demanding my rights, not insisting on my way, not forcing my opinion, etc. It refers to someone who's willing to overlook insults and hurtful actions of others without retaliating. That's the idea of a forbearing spirit. You yield your rights to get back, to retaliate, to respond with that cutting word, to put others in their place when you feel threatened or taken advantage of. It was used in the courtroom. This word was used in the courtroom of a judge who softened the harshness and strictness of justice with mercy. It referred to justice bathed with mercy. I like that. It was used of judges in the courtroom who knew when not to press the strict letter of the law, but applied the spirit of the law with mercy. Okay, just tuck that away because we'll come back to that. The letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. Here, the word is forbearing in my translation, maybe gentle in yours. It means to be patient when wronged. When your patience is being tested by someone or something out there that's aggravating you, that bugs you, you're gentle. You're trying to understand where they're coming from, that their weaknesses, their insecurities, their foibles and failures. It's used of God. This word that's translated forbearing in Psalm 86, verse 5, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Psalm 86, 5, O Lord, thou art good, and here it is, ready to forgive. Forbearing. As I said, it's also translated gentle. Some of you have the NIV, right? And it reads, let your gentleness be evident to all. And some of you, especially guys, you macho men, you're saying, gentleness? That's not a manly trait. We've got to be strong, tough, macho, unyielding. Guys, that's sometimes the problem. Let your gentle spirit be known to all. Your kind demeanor, let it be known to all. We all struggle with this. This isn't just for the guys, by the way, that struggle with a gentle spirit in this coarse world. It's for all of us. It's men, women, husbands, wives, children, teenagers. I remind you that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a characteristic of God, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians 10:1, Paul says, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Same word here, forbearing. Do you know it's the quality? It's one of the requirements of a spiritual leader in the church. 1 Timothy 3:3, same word, forbearing here. It says he is not to be a fighter, not one to always, he's always argumentative, but he's to be gentle. Forbearing, that's 1 Timothy 3:3. Patient when wrong, not insisting on his own way, not always arguing to the death to get his opinion across. Alexander Strauch writes, a man who is gentle exhibits a willingness to yield and patiently makes allowances for the weakness and ignorance of the fallen human condition. And as I began to study this, beloved, I began to be convicted. You know why? Because I go through life and I think sometimes I'm the only one that really understands. I'm the only one who really knows, you know, what's going on out there. And sometimes people cross my path and I say, man, you're nuts. Where are you coming from? That's pride. That's not a forbearing spirit. That's not a gentle spirit. Why did they say that? Where are you coming from? Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Talking about priests. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and the misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. Someone who has a forbearing spirit, someone who has a gentle spirit, a kind spirit, this word that we're studying here this morning, understands that he too is beset with weakness and ignorance. So he cuts other people some slack. He has a forbearing spirit. He's not ready to judge and to criticize. You see, we may not think we need this virtue of gentleness and forbearance, but we do. I mentioned that this word here, forbearance, was used of judges who knew when not to press the strict letter of the law, but applied the spirit of the law with mercy. When you think, beloved, of the letter of the law, what group of people in the Bible were masters at applying the letter of the law? Who? Pharisees. Right. I mean, the letter of the law. The letter of the law. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Practice of Godliness, he says this: the Pharisees, rigid in their absolute adherence to tradition, perfectly demonstrated the opposite of forbearance, of considerateness. They were always asking, is it lawful? They never asked, is it kind? Or is it reasonable? They never asked, or Jesus was always getting into trouble with the Pharisees because he constantly broke away from their rigid traditions and in many cases exposed their utter absurdity. The forbearing Christian, he says, Bridges says, the forbearing, considerate, gentle Christian listens to reason and is fair-minded and humane. Instead of insisting on the letter of the law, he asks, what is the right thing to do in this situation? Now, he's very careful to say, that doesn't mean we just kind of whatever, and whatever feels right, do it. No. We're tied to the word. This kind of thinking, he says, should not be confused with the humanistic philosophy that says, if it feels right, do it. That philosophy is entirely self-centered and focuses on one's carnal desires. Forbearance, considerateness, on the other hand, focuses on the other individual and asks what is best for him. Now, I grant you, it's tough sometimes to know the the balance there between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. But you look at the life of Jesus, and he was doing that all the time, always upholding the law. Someone who insists on the letter of the law is usually harsh towards others, but easy on themselves. See, that was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were always insisting on the letter. Jesus, you didn't wash your hands. And it was their tradition and so on before you eat. But their hearts were filled with envy and greed and murder and judgmentalism. You know, their arguments over the Sabbath, thinking Jesus was breaking the Sabbath and so tied to the letter of the law rather than the spirit. What was the spirit? What was the intent of the law? Someone who insists on the letter of the law usually is harsh towards others and easy on themselves. See, the forbearing person is one who is hard when it comes to his own sin, but he's gentle towards other sinners. A few years ago, when the TV evangelist scandals broke loose and when the house began to come down around one of the big names, and there was another TV evangelist that began to lob hand grenades and point the finger and so on. And then it became exposed sometime after that the second man was dealing with prostitutes. See, that's not a forbearing spirit. The letter of the law. Harshness. Hard on other sinners. Hard on other people. Judging them. But easy and forget and allowing things in my own life. But the forbearing person, the kind person, deals ruthlessly with his own sin before God and is gentle towards others. And so the word is, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. The requirement, remember, it's a command. Secondly, notice the range of kindness. The range of kindness. It says it is to be known and seen by all. All people are to know us as being this way. Forbearing. Gentle. Kind. Forgiving. It's relatively easy. We read it this morning in Luke 6. It's relatively easy to be kind and gentle and forbearing and giving to nice people, to considerate people who treat us well, who say nice things about us. But God says, let your forbearing spirit, your forgiving spirit, your kind attitude, your generous attitude, let it be known to all men. To the considerate and the inconsiderate, to the friendly and the unfriendly, to the reasonable and the unreasonable, to the cultured and the crude, to the polite and the impolite, to the nasty and the nice. Now, this gets convicting, beloved, as I said, because my attitude is not always this way. In line with verse 5, let your forbearing spirit be known always, in every situation, to all men. I don't always manifest the mind of Christ, the life of Christ, who said, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me, for I am what? Meek and gentle in spirit. Same idea. Meek and gentle, not harsh, forbearing, patient, when all of that injustice was being heaped on him. See, that's the mind we're to have. That's the life. That's the testimony we are to manifest. Let your forbearing spirit be known to everyone, to all men, towards believers, first of all, in the church. We ought to be so patient with others. Forbearing. You serve on a committee, perhaps. And frankly, the decisions of the committee aren't necessarily going the way you would want. What do you do? What do you do? You ask God, God, give me a reasonable heart here. Or do you keep banging away at your opinion? Now, if it's a matter of biblical principle, stand on the truth. Don't waver. But much, you know, of what divides believers are the non-essentials. Wanting our way, our method, whatever. Let your forbearing spirit be known on that committee. Do you walk away when it doesn't go your way? Are you willing to yield to others in the non-essentials? Let your forbearing spirit, your gentleness be known to everyone, towards that neighbor on the next farm or the next yard or across the street who just complains about everything. I mean, your leaves fall on his yard. Your kids play on his grass. How do you respond to that? God wants that neighbor who's so difficult to live with, God wants that neighbor to see your forbearing spirit, your gentle spirit. That's what it says. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Marie has a friend in Central Asia. This friend left the Muslim faith, became a believer in Jesus, and was ostracized by her family. That's difficult. I don't know that we can relate to that. To be ostracized, to be persecuted, to be shut out from one's family and culture. Day came that this woman's sister-in-law, not her sister, this is what's so amazing, her sister-in-law suffered a miscarriage, would have bled to death in the apartment. Man there didn't know what to do. Went to get this sister-in-law who's been ostracized. Will you come? Will you help? This lady will tell you it was a struggle. After all they had done to her, she remembered the words of Jesus. She went. Her very little money, but used what she had to buy a taxi, get the woman to the hospital, stayed with her sister-in-law in the hospital. The doctor said, you mean you're not her blood sister? You are just a sister-in-law? This is unheard of. That's the spirit of Christ. See, that's the attitude of Christ. And that began to open the door for Jesus and relationship in that situation. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. You know what gets me? It's those lines at the bank. It's those lines at the grocery store. And you know, you're in a hurry and you're in the express line. 10 items or less. And there's somebody ahead of you. And they've got 11 items. You've counted them. You know it's 11. And you're standing there. And then this person is going to pay with a check, a paper check, but they can't find their checkbook. And so what do you do as you're standing there? You sigh, you roll your eyes, you I can't believe what's going on up there. That's not a forbearing spirit. That's not a spirit of gentleness. That's not a kind spirit. This says, let your forbearing spirit be known everywhere. You go downtown, it's known there. Across the neighborhood, it's known there. In the church, it's known there. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. One of the places I'm tested is when I'm driving, right? Because I'm about the world's best driver. Ha ha. So I pull up behind somebody. And I mean, it's like they don't know where they're going. They're going 15 in the 25 or something. Or they're going 20 in the 45. And I mean, I've got to be somewhere, right? I'm important. I've got to be somewhere. Come on, come on. And then they think they're going to turn this way. But no, they're going to. No, then they slow down. Then they speed up. And And you just need to get past them. And finally, there's a passing lane. How do you respond when you drive by them? Burning rubber, glaring, or kind of a friendly wave, hi. In that situation, God says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Stu shared with me a week or so ago the story about the man who was in a hurry following another car, and the car ahead of him stopped at the intersection, you know, and instead of trying to run the red light, he stopped, you know, for the yellow light. And it was kind of a close call, but the car had stopped, and the guy behind was in a hurry and just upset that the other one didn't go on through. And so he lays on the horn and kind of, you know, one of those, yelled something out, you know, the window, about the color green, etc. An officer saw this happening. Officer behind the second car. And he pulled the man over. He said, may I see your license, your registration, please? And the man said, officer, I didn't go through any light. I wasn't speeding for sure. No, you weren't. But when I saw your reaction up there to that other driver, where you pounded the wheel and made these gestures and honked the horn, and then I saw the Jesus loves you bumper sticker and the fish on your bumper, I thought, this person stole in this car. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, to the policeman, to the other driver, to the neighbor. What about that co-worker who puts you down, makes you look bad? Do you retaliate? The Christ-like spirit is to be gentle, forbearing. How do you overcome evil, beloved? How do you overcome evil? You overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. I love this story. Whatever you think of the Boston Red Sox and former third baseman Wade Boggs. I think he's in the Hall of Fame now, but he used to hate going to Yankee Stadium. Not because of the Yankees. They didn't give him a lot of trouble, but because of one fan in Yankee Stadium. And this guy had a box seat that was close to the field, and when the Red Sox were in town, he would torment Wade Boggs by shouting obscenities and insults. And it's hard to imagine one fan getting under the skin of a pro player, but this guy had the way of doing it. One day before a game, Boggs was out there warming up, and this fan began his typical routine. Boggs, you stink, you're terrible, da-da-da-da. And Boggs decided he'd had enough. He walked directly over to the man who was sitting in the stands and said, hey, fella, are you the guy who's always yelling at me? Yeah, it's me. What are you going to do about it? With that, Boggs took a brand new baseball out of his pocket, autographed it, and tossed it to the man, and went back to his pregame routine. The man never yelled at Boggs again. In fact, he became one of his biggest fans at Yankee Stadium. Now, it doesn't always work that way. But how do you overcome evil? Bible says one way. Not by fighting back, not by demanding your own way, by a forbearing spirit, by a kind and gentle spirit. You overcome evil with good. How about at home? Men, does your wife know you as a forbearing, gentle, kind person? Or does she know you as, does she know you guys as harsh, critical, inflexible? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, live with her in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel. Wives, how about towards your husbands, towards your children? Are you known as a forbearing, gentle, kind person? Towards your children, dads and moms. You need to be firm. They need to respect your authority. But are you reasonable? Do you listen to their side? Or is there anger in harshness? Because I said so. Well, this is what is to characterize us. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. And if you're like me, you're thinking, man, I blow this regularly. What help is there? Point number three. Here's the reason for kindness. Here's the reason for kindness. The Lord is near. And that word, the Lord is near or the Lord is at hand, can mean near in space. He's close to us in proximity, or it means near in time. And I think it's possible that both senses are here. First of all, the Lord is near his people. Let a forbearing spirit characterize you. Before all that know you, might they know you as someone who is kind and forbearing and reasonable, etc. First of all, Jesus is near his people. We have his model, his example. It's in the Word. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am gentle and humble in heart. Matthew 11:29. Beloved, when you and I are tempted to retaliate, when we're tempted to lose it before what we perceive is just the ignorance and the frustration of other people towards us, the frustrating things they do, we have to let the mind of Christ focus on the cross, focus on him. How did he respond? 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. More and more people, when I'm faced with the temptation to respond inappropriately, I go to the cross. I go to Christ. I go to my Savior and his example, his model. But see, it's more than an example. There's power. There's power. He empowers us. We can't do this in our own strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we look to him. We draw near to him. We meditate on the Word. We let the Word fill us. Let the Holy Spirit produce that fruit of gentleness and kindness. Galatians 5:22-23. We look to Christ. The Lord is near. When you think of Jesus, he was totally secure in who he was. Totally secure in his identity. Even though liberal theologians say Jesus, you know, was confused about who he was and his mission. Absolutely not. He was totally secure in his mission and his identity. So he committed himself when he was wronged. He didn't deserve that. It was totally unjust. It was sin. It says he committed himself to him who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2. See, when you and I become defensive, inflexible, intolerant, demanding, you ever thought about this? It's because you and I were insecure. We're insecure with our identity in Christ. Our identity is in him. But we think they're not treating me very importantly. For example, a waitress comes and you've been made to wait and wait and wait, and you're ready to lose it with this young waitress. Or maybe she messes up your order. You see, you want her to know, hey, I'm important. I'm important. Don't you know who I am? I don't deserve to be treated like this. And so we lose it. And we don't demonstrate the mind of Christ, a forbearing spirit. Our security is in Christ. Our identity is in him. We don't have to prove our importance to people. The Lord is near. Focus on him. And secondly, the Lord is near his return. He's near his people. Secondly, he's near his return. He's coming soon. We sang it. Beautiful song this morning. Jesus is coming again. The Lord is near. The Lord's coming is at hand. How then shall we live as though we might step into his presence at any moment? Beloved, if we truly believe that we could meet Jesus at any moment, that ought to change our behavior. Motivate us, encourage us. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, 1 John 3:3. See, having this eternal perspective, the Lord is near. His coming is near. Helps us through the potholes and the difficulties and the, the valleys of life. Turn quickly to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. James 5, 8 says, "You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." There it is again. "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." Do not complain about others. Be patient. Keep your eyes on Christ. Well, may God help us. Amen. Do you need help here? Like I need help? We need to ask God to help us obey, that we would be known as kind, forbearing. It's in this day and age, it's becoming more uncivil, crude, rude, in your face. The people of God are to look different. We're to be known by all for a forbearing, gentle, kind, forgiving spirit. Did you notice the first thing after rejoice in the Lord always? It's let your forbearing spirit. Rejoicing even when you're wrong. Rejoicing even in suffering. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all. God said to me, "Fred, you need to be harder on yourself and your sin and gentler on others." Not compromising the word. Not going soft on the word. But see, I'm too often harsh on sinners and I'm easy on myself. The Lord would say, get it the other way around. Let your forbearing spirit towards others be known far and wide. You can't do this unless you know Him. You can't do this. You can't live like this unless you know Jesus. Because it's His Spirit that produces this spirit of gentleness and forbearance in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Would you bow your heads, please? As we close, I invite you to take this time to pray. What has God spoken to your heart this morning? I know what He's spoken to my heart. I was convicted. I was smitten by my attitude of self-importance. You right now have an opportunity to ask God for help and grace to change you from the inside out, to give you the mind of Christ. Would you do that? To give you more and more and me this spirit of gentleness and forbearance and kindness. Sweet reasonableness, as one translation has it. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, would you talk to somebody? Would you talk to me? And you can know Him before you leave here this morning by admitting your sin, by admitting your need for His forgiveness. If you will put all your trust in Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on Calvary's cross, He died for your sin. He died for you as a lawbreaker. He died for you. You can have life if you'll acknowledge your need and receive Him as your Savior and Lord. Father, thank You for Your word to us today. Change our hearts for Your glory, our good, for the advancement of Your kingdom in a world, Father, that needs to see genuine Christianity. Father, help us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.